Welcome to Season 2, Episode 2 of the Arctos Chronicles. This episode features music not only from Volume 2 of the music of the Arctos Chronicles, but the piano solo work of Philip Wesley and Joe Bongiorno.
Alex. Hi, it's Mike Thunder, and I'm back again. I just plan to sit here with you. Is that okay? Isn't it okay if I just sit here with you? Is that okay, Alexander?
Remember college theater? I landed some great roles back then. There was this one year when...
Alexander, my name is Mr. Frost, and only you can hear me. I am not in the room. I am speaking to your soul.
I landed some great roles back then, Mr. Frost. There was this one year when I landed three huge roles, and every one of them was mentally ill in some way or another.
Alex, hi. It's Mike Thunder, and I'm back again. I'm not really here to strike up any conversations with you, but if you did want to talk, well, I'm a fairly good listener. Bottom line, I'm here for you.
Copy that, Adam 12. Dispatch will see you there.
All of them. Mentally ill in some way or another. Mr. Frost, in each case, the character's insanity was romanticized. Do you know what I mean by that?
I think I do, Alex. One of my favorite movies was Harvey. You know, where Jimmy Stewart played a guy who saw a 6 foot tall white rabbit.
Six foot one, actually.
I loved playing that part, Mr. Frost. As well as the others, but... with all the comedy and likability of these three characters, there was something that both I and the audiences never thought about, at least not back then.
Ah, good morning, Michael. How is the patient? Have you spoken with him yet?
No, not a word, Arnie. Mr. Bastion's benefactors, my bosses, define my job clearly as a watcher, not a counselor, so I'm just here being present for him.
This is very good, Michael. Many times people wish to say things when all the patient really wants is to know that someone else, a caring individual such as yourself, is present and that they are not alone. It takes a special individual to carry out that task. Good morning, Mr. Bastion. How are you this fine summer morning? Are you ready for a bit to eat, Perhaps a lovely strudel? Tasty, tasty.
Yeah. We will force a tube down your throat if you don't eat your strudel. How can you avoid tubes if you don't eat your strudel?
Yeah, Alexander. We want you healthy, healthy. That's a good soldier. I am going to check the reflexes quickly now. I will uncover your legs so I can tap your knees with my little hammer, yeah? Okay, good. Tap. Tap again, yeah? Yeah, very good, Mr. Bastion. Physically, you're an excellent specimen. You felt that, yeah?
Actually, Doctor, last night Alex did mumble something about feeling. He said that he felt everything.
Outstanding, Mr. Bastion. Outstanding.
Well, the thing about these three characters that neither I nor the audience ever thought about was the reality of the mental illnesses for these characters. In reality, if these characters were real, like Sid Barrett from Pink Floyd was real, then whatever other realities into which they slipped off, well, they never came back from those places. Nobody feels that.
Thank you.
disengage. There's plenty going on here inside of me, but I can't break out of this cage. Feeling everything, but nothing feels me, and I have no place to go. Something in this medicine is shutting me down. The doctors seem to be enjoying the show. Nothing feels me. It's like nothing, all but alone. Nothing feels me. If this is normal, then I wanna go home. I have nothing.
Tyna! Guten Morgen, Arktos! How about those sled dogs, Tyna? Nothing feels me. Sure to go platinum! Sure to go gold. That is a keeper for sure. Just like all you chickies and hanging chads, Tyna. Just like that old reader board, you'll be glad you came. I get it! I get it, and I am so glad I came to Tyna. This is your host, Harry Lockwood. Lock jock, pox upon it. Keep it, stock it. I just got what you need, Tyna. Newswire.
This just in.
We have a missing citizen, old groovy hamlet of the north. One of our very own is reported missing. No struggle. No foul play.
She's just gone missing.
Our very own patron number two. Time out of mind. Booth warmer at Dinah's Cafe. That's right.
Weep for me, not Argentina.
Let's just find our gal. If anybody sees or has seen patron number two in the last month, please call. Well,
you know my number.
Give me a ringle, a jingle, a jangle. And speaking of...
Sing me, sing me, sing me. Sing me, sing me, baby. Ooh.
Cluster, please, Mike Thunder.
Hello, Dr. Schizofreud. I'm sorry. That's right. Arnie.
Very good. Now, Michael, I wish to introduce you to Leigh. L-E-I-G-H. Isn't that right, Liebchen? Your name is Leigh.
It's my nickname. Leigh is. It's short for Alethea. Alethea Dulas. But Leigh's fine.
It's a pleasure to meet you, Leigh.
You as well.
Good, good. We are all new best friends. Excellent. Michael, Miss Dulas has traveled across the country from the other Washington, from D.C., because she was notified concerning Mr. Bastion. She is apparently the closest thing Alexander has to a living relative at this point. I thought perhaps you might take her to the cafeteria, have some coffee or even a nice strudel, and learn more about our patient and Miss Dulas as well. Perhaps we may be of assistance either way.
Absolutely. It would be my pleasure, Leigh.
That's very kind. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Tina.
Good day, Arctos.
This is Sheriff Lazy.
And Deputy Hazy. And we're in the field for
KARC 1400 The Circle on special assignment.
And we're not alone.
We have our special canine bloodhound.
And tracker.
None other than...
You guessed it.
Woof the Sea Otter. Say howdy to the folks, Woof.
We begin our expedition this morning setting off from Dinah's Cafe.
That's right, Woof. Dinah is one special lady.
Having just finished our coffee and strudels and sardines.
Delicious sardines and pickled herring.
Now, we hit the trail hoping that it was still as warm as our to-go coffees we grabbed on the way out.
We stopped first at the train depot and spoke with Pat.
Now, he assured us that he loves us all and loves Christmas as well.
Oh, that Pat. Next, we headed over to Sam's Fish House to pick up some...
Blubber.
That's right.
Blubber.
That's right. One can never have enough
blubber.
Now we find
ourselves... Now we find ourselves at a crossroads.
That's right. We stand in the middle of Tina.
The T in the road that is 34th and the ancient road.
Which way, Woof, good old boy?
Do you have the scent, boy?
Where to next?
You got a whiff of patron too, boy?
Oh, he's all wound up
he
now.
He sure is.
North it is, Woof, good old boy.
Northward on the ancient road we go.
That's our report for now.
Back to you, Jack Yukon, and the sounds of summer.
How warm is it anywho?
Feels pretty hot.
Right around freezing.
Oh, man, I'm telling you.
Okay, wow, get on my Hawaiian shirt.
Oh, man.
I love this song. Очень хорошо. It moves my soul. Много, много раз. Play it again, Sam. Oh, good evening, Тайночка. Добрый вечер. It is beautiful summer evening for Arctos, wherein the sunlight never goes away and everybody gets a little manic. Da, it is true. We have a balmy 45 degrees this evening and only 2% chance of rain. I understand that the snowpack is down so much that we can actually walk on the ancient road. Da, the actual road. I will relate this evening's story to you, Tainochka, in a minute. First, let us each say blessing for those who are searching for our friend Patron 2. And let us pray for safety of Patron 2. Last hour, we received phone call here at KARC from one who last saw Patron 2 near southern border of Arctos during the Great Routing. Many wondered and were confused during that troubling experience. Ah, Господи помилуй. Ha, well, and now our story. Once upon a time, just before China became a town, a great council was held by the Watchers of Arktos. Who were these watched over Arktos, who cared for the many little fishing communities? Well, the circle included parts of many countries from around the northern rim of Zemlya, that is, of the earth. So then, all the watchers gathered, including Grandfather Frost, and they discussed what to do to secure some providence against the growing hostilities of the underworld. For Arktos, this especially concerned the Lower 48. It was decided that there should be outposts, cathedrals, bastions from which to combat gathering storm clouds, an ever-increasing dismal gray that was quickly blanketing the planet. It was decided also to lead special group out from Soviet Union into this region. Grandfather Frost, a mighty watcher, commanding many thousands watchers, composed himself as normal man and built the cathedral upon the ancient road. He also began to stir hearts, the special group, and sent his right-hand man Nicholas to lead them. And so they come and establish Taina. But you, Tainochka, you know this story, don't you? My loves. It is good to be reminded from time to time, especially when terrible and tremendous evil and glorious seasons are upon us all. But now, pull window shades and settle yourselves down for a good rest, my dears, for a long summer's nap. Let sleep come for this night as you listen to this old song from our musical friends, Yazdovi Sobaki.
Dearest Nicholas, today was a mixed basket of experiences. The head psychiatrist introduced me to a woman who traveled the country to visit Alexander. Her name is Alethea, and she is apparently the closest thing Alexander has to family. I kind of picked up on the old flame vibe from her. Her eyes sparkle a little bit every time she says his name. However, the fact is that her older sister was Alexander's love interest many years ago. It went very badly. So badly that Alethea has had nothing to do with her sister since that time, and that was back during the 90s. Alethea moved to the East Coast just to get away from the drama, but says she has kept tabs on Alexander from a distance throughout the years. At any rate, after lunch, we returned to the wing where Alexander resides, and it was all fairly awkward. I don't know, Mr. Frost. Perhaps I am a conspiracy theorist, but one can hardly blame me after all the things I've experienced in my life. Mr. Bastian was not in his room. He had been taken to a secluded wing called the Observation Forum. We rushed over to the other wing, and it sure seemed as if Dr. Schizofroid was annoyed to see me. It occurred to me that he had sent me off with Miss Dulas in order to keep me away from this proceeding. Well, with me and Miss Dulas now there, he quickly became cordial and explained what was going on. They were engaging in an experiment with Alexander, and although I found it all abhorrent, I kept my personal thoughts to myself until I could write you. They had Mr. Bastian strapped into his bed within a plain white room, nothing else other than a panel on one wall into which ran his IV line. From the control room booth in which we all gathered, the doctor and the techs could alter what was going into the patient. We all watched from behind the one-way mirrored glass. I could tell that Alethea was as troubled as I was. The first thing they did was to stop the flow of any meds they had been giving him. Then they administered a med that would immediately shock whatever was left of those previous meds out of his system. Their first objective was to observe Mr. Bastian in the state he had been when he originally was picked up in Carkeek Park. The first thing Alexander did was to look straight at the glass as if he could see Alethea behind it, and he said,
"I think I see my angel there behind the glass, watching every move I make. Are you there, dearest one?"
Alethea inaudibly breathed words, affirming that she was indeed there.
"Oh my gosh, I'm here, Alex."
Alexander smiled, put his head back on the pillow, and looking at the mirror one more time said,
"Watch this, little girl. This will freak him out. Catch me if you can, schizophroid."
Alex's eyes rolled back into his head and he was gone. Dr. Schizophroid and the tech seemed ravenous, as if they were getting exactly what they hoped to see.
"This is no psychotic break, Michael. The mess in Mr. Bastian's soul is an entire world. And now with his help, it is a world we are going to also see. Participant number 3, please now tell us all about it."
"Suspension of all psychopharmacological treatment is complete. The patient has been moved to the protective cell and is now awakening.
Under intervention is standing by.
Observations of subject may begin as you are ready."
Sometimes he makes it sound like a walk in the park. He engages.
Needless to say, Mr. Frost, Alethea was emotionally rattled by the event. She rushed out of the observation forum, and I followed after her. There was an obvious connection between her and Alexander that ranged far beyond three dimensions. I asked her to remain in Seattle for a spell and see if this connection might prove to be helpful for Alexander, but she was distraught. The medical team actually pled with her to stay. She declined. She did, however, go back into the observation room to bid farewell to Alexander. She placed her hands on his one arm and, leaning over, she kissed his forehead. At that exact moment, something electrical in the room went into a frenzy. It was strange. But with what I am now understanding about radio waves, I am certain you could tell me what happened between Alethea and Alexander in that moment. I thought she might have changed her mind to stay, but she didn't. She flew back to D.C. that night. Kyrie eleison, Mr. Frost. Michelle.